All right, guys, for those that are new and were not here last week, we are in the middle of a series about sex. And so we're going to just jump right in. There are some smirks already. We're going to be talking about some tough stuff this morning. But I encourage you to take notes. I encourage you to lock in. If this is stuff that you are not in the middle of right now, it's stuff that the world is going to throw at you. To recap some of what we talked about last week. Last week, we looked at God's plan for sex. We looked at the scriptures and how God created sex to be a beautiful thing, to be a thing for our enjoyment, to be a thing for our even worship of Him. But the world has shattered the beautiful picture of what God intended for sex. We ended last week looking at how we have traded God's design for our desires. And when you hear the word sex, there are probably all kinds of things that flood your mind. And most of them are probably negative. Most of them are probably either hurt from some kind of you're wrestling with that, or it feels like a bad thing, or it feels like something. And so I'm going to throw out some things that maybe the world says sex is. And I want you to hear if you have heard some of these before, or maybe you have said some of these before. Here's what the world says about sex. Sex is just being ready for the next step in our relationship. Sex is when you're in a committed relationship. Come on, everybody's doing it. It's my business, not yours. I can do whatever I want. You can't expect me to stop. Wait, we're just fooling around. It's nothing serious. It's unhealthy to deny my needs. It's unhealthy to deny my desires. Hey, I'm not blind. I can't help but look. It's just a joke that somebody sent over a text message. Man, it's just a video. It's just a picture. I'm not having sex. I'm just looking for love. Oh, those are the old rules before birth control. I can have sex now. I just want to be sure that he's the one. I want to be sure that she's the one. I mean, it's not like it's murder. I mean, come on. Right? God created it. What could be wrong? It's just sex. These are some of them. These are not all of them. If God created it, if God created it to be good and beautiful and wonderful and this amazing thing for us to enjoy, why has our world destroyed it? What happened? Guys, the culture is throwing all kinds of messages of what sex is, of how you should enjoy it, of how you should partake in it, of what you should desire and how you should desire it. And you can do whatever you want. Come on, you're in your prime. Take advantage of it. Explore. That's what the world is saying. But I hope last week and again this week, you'll see that that's not what the scripture says. You're hearing all kinds of messages, and a big one is through music. Guys, I'll tell you, I looked through the top 50 on Spotify this week, and I was blown away at just the trash that we stomp our foot to, kind of snap our fingers, just go, ooh, that's good. But if you stop to listen to it, it is ruining your life. And that's today. I'm gonna let us look at a song that's from a few years ago. Anybody in here know the song Teenage Dream, Katy Perry? Some hands? Yeah, hopefully. If you don't, I'm going to read some of the lyrics. But there's this song. You guys are teenagers, growing into teenagers. You want to live the dream. We all do. And so here's what Katy Perry says is the dream. Here's the song, Teenage Dream. It says, you think I'm pretty without any makeup on. You think I'm funny when I tell the punchline wrong. You know you get me, so I'll let my walls come down. Okay, this is like a nice friendship. Oh, he thinks I'm cute. This is fun. Oh, this is so good. I can be real with him. I can be me. I don't have to be as guarded. Before you met me, I was all right, but things were kind of heavy. You brought me to life. Now every February, you'll be my Valentine. Oh, that's sweet. Maybe they're moving into a nice relationship. Man, this is good. There's not that bad music. And then it goes in and it says, let's go all the way tonight. Whoa! Man, that happened fast. here's a little funny Phineas and Ferb Valentine. Love ya. And then it goes straight into the message that she wants to tell. It says, let's go all the way tonight. No regrets, just love. We can dance until we die. You and I will be young forever. YOLO. Right? You only live once. Go for it. You make me feel like I'm living a teenage dream the way you turn me on. I can't sleep. Let's run away and don't ever look back. The teenage dream. Are you living it? That's what our culture is saying is the dream. And guys, I'm not naive to think that there are some of you who are living that. You're buying that lie. You are trying to go find the dream and what Katy Perry and all kinds of other artists are talking about. And if you're not, you probably have friends who are. And there's some in here who don't. God bless you. And I pray that the Lord continues to protect you from that. But this is what our culture says that you should go after, because that's where life is found. And I don't know if you've looked around, but our country is in a disaster. And it's because we do not believe in God anymore. And it's exactly what the scriptures say are going to happen when we just chase our desires. And so guys, I'm gonna read a big chunk of scripture, and I'm just gonna let it speak for itself. If you've got your Bibles, I want you to open to Romans 1. And what's really interesting is God's not surprised we are where we are today. God's not surprised our culture's obsessed with ourselves and obsessed with sex and buying the lie, because he said, hey, if you go chase your desires, I'm gonna let you have them. If you think that's what you want, you think that's where life is found, I'm telling you, I'm where life is found, God says. But you can go get them. We're going to read Romans 1. We're going to start in verse 18. It's a lot, but I want you to just see how Paul tells us this is where our sin takes us. Romans 1, starting in verse 18. It says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but for their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. And here's where it goes into, because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, here is what happens, and here's where we are. Because of this, God gave them over to their shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. God just let them walk in their desire. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, and ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. This is the world we live in, guys. What happened? What happened to God's beautiful plan of this world and his beautiful design for sex? Sin happened. All the way back to Adam and Eve, and it's not their fault. Guys, we live in this culture where we're the same way. We seek our desire. If you're taking notes, write down Romans 1. and make it the prayer of your life that says, Lord, how do I seek to attain the knowledge of who you are and to walk in righteousness and not to just run to the things that are exhaustively listed there? The problem is not just sex. The problem is sin. But because of sin, our view of sex, our view of sexuality, our view of even desire is completely changed. And as it says in that scripture, we've exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And we believe it as truth. And we buy it, and we want it, and we seek it. And so guys, today, we're going to look at five of the biggest lies about sex that we believe. Five of the biggest lies that culture and the enemy, that Satan is trying to convince us and brainwash us that this is what is true and this is what you should go walk in. So guys, before we start, I want to say again, there are some of you in this room who this is not an issue for you. And I really want to just say hallelujah and thank the Lord for that and continue to pray that God allows you to walk and that is your story. I pray that nothing of what I say today will seek you to go seek something out that you've never heard of. But if there is question that you will go ask your parents very first, that you'll go, hey, we're learning about this in Wake. I mean, there's stuff even in that passage of scripture that the scripture says that makes me just go, whoa, what is that? If you've got question, ask your parents, ask your leaders. Don't just go seek it out from your friends at school. And guys, we're gonna speed through some of these. We're going to try and cover as much as we can, but I'm not going to be able to just go, hey, here's everything the scripture says and here's everything you need to know. We're just going to brush the surface of this topic because there's so much hurt. There's so many lies that we buy, and I'm not just saying you guys, so many lies that I've bought my entire life and still want to chase after. But I hope that you see the lie, and not just what is wrong, but I hope you see the truth of what God's word says. And so we're going to look at that this morning. Lie number one. Sex is limited to going all the way. A lot of times when we just think of sex, we think, okay, that's just the act of intercourse. That is just that term, going all the way and having sex. That's what we think sex is. And the lie is that because we've put sex in a box, because we've made it just this thing that we learned last week is for marriage and between a man and a woman and all those things, if we're not doing that, if that's the standard, everything else is okay. Guys, I want you to hear me clearly. That is a lie. A lot of people in relationships are not relationships. In whatever, in life, we want to know the rule so we can know just as far to the rule that we can break. Right? I do. And so some people go, how far is too far? If I'm looking at something, how much is okay and not okay? Guys, I'm telling you, that's the wrong question. The question is not, how far can I go physically or how far can my mind go? The question is, what is God's standard of righteousness and purity and how do I radically pursue that and forsake everything else? The lie is that sex is limited to going all the way. But guys, that is not what Scripture says. Ephesians 5:3. It says, but among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. It's not just, hey, you can't have sex. It's saying there should not, for someone who's a follower of Jesus, for someone who is redeemed by Christ and reconciled to God, there should not be a hint. Not because you're a bad person if you do it. Not because God's upset with you or ashamed of you, but because you're freed of that. You don't have to. You don't have to find life in this garbage. I don't have to find life in this garbage. We are known as the righteousness of God. That's how God sees us. So you guys need to hear me. This is not, hey guys, to be a good Christian, you can't go there. This is going, guys, your identity is Jesus now, if you believe in him. and you don't have to. There should not even be a hint of sexual immorality. Sexual immorality, what is that? Because it's a big term. There are other scriptures that throw a bunch of words in there. I'm going to define sexual immorality for you. It is anything, action or thought, that leads you into sin. Let me say that again. Sexual immorality is anything, action or thought, that leads you into sin. Now, where that's hard is that's not a standard for everybody. That's not a, hey, you can go this far. There are some people that I know, even grown men like me who are in dating relationships, and holding hands for them is too far. It causes their mind to start to think of, well, what else could we do? And so they just have to say, hey, we just have to keep the physicality out of it. Sexual immorality is not just the act of sex, but it's also the thought of sex. And guys, it's not even just the sexual actions that we're thinking of, that some of those come to mind, but it is anything having to do with sex. So some of those things that can be stuff like passionate and long kisses. I have friends who are still in dating relationships or even engaged. I mean, they're about to be married. But it's anything that causes your mind or your body to react in a way that says, hey, it's time. And guys, that's a different standard. That's not just what's the line and how do I get there. That's just going, how do I pursue godliness with everything that I've got? Long, passionate kisses. Hey, it's just the dance floor. I mean, come on, it's a good song. I gotta get my dance on. I'm telling you right now, guys, a hint of sexual immorality is freak dancing and grinding. And some of you may not know what I'm talking about. That's great. Many of you do. Don't just use the dance floor and everybody else is doing it as an excuse to say that's okay. God's word does not say that's okay. Any level of undressing or of touching of body parts inappropriately, whether that is yours or someone else's, that's a part of sexual immorality. Sexual joking, conversations about sexual experiences, and oh, you're not going to believe what happened or what I heard of. Fantasizing. It's not just an action, ladies and gentlemen. It is what we allow our mind to think of, to just go, oh, what if? And guys, I'm telling you, boys and girls, the enemy is going to tempt you to go there. Temptation is not wrong, but when we allow that temptation to continue further into sin, that's where you have to be careful. So confess quickly. Let us help you. Let us walk with you. Again, you're not bad for doing these things, but God calls this sin, and we don't have to be defined by that anymore. Some other things are pornography. I'm going to dive into some of that here in a second, but pornography is a part of sexual immorality. The lie is that, oh, hey, it's not the physical act of sex, like we said earlier. I mean, it's just looking at something. Guys, that's sexual immorality. And not just guys and girls. That's fantasy. That's allowing our minds to go to a place that God just says, hey, that's reserved for me. You don't have to be identified by that. Another one that's big in our culture is sexting. Guys, I talked to somebody this weekend, and he just said, this might be the hardest culture for a teen to grow up in because you have a grenade in your pocket. You have access to things that are unimaginable, and many of your parents are helping you with that, and you are so annoyed by that, but you need to know that is a blessing that your parents care enough about you to help you understand how to walk through this world as a man of God or a woman of God. But the statistics say that 66% of teens and young adults have received an explicit sexual image through a text message. 41% have sent one. This isn't just a little bit of the population that might be wrestling with this. This is now becoming an epidemic. There's another scripture that this talks about. And it's in Matthew 5. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, he addresses the heart issue where the Old Testament says, thou shalt not commit adultery in the King James. You shouldn't commit adultery. It's not just the standard, the rule. Jesus takes it even further. And he says this, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out, throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for the whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for the whole body to go into hell. He's saying, Jesus, God is saying, if there is something in your life that is causing you to sin and to stumble, something that's leading you into sexual immorality, get rid of it. I want to touch on pornography for a second because that's a big one. That is a big deal in our culture. I'm going to just share with you some statistics. Statistics say that 90% of kids age 8 to 16 have viewed pornography in some form or fashion. It says, and this is growing, it says that 1 in 3 of those are women. This isn't just something that some people struggle with. And again, I want to say, if this is something that you don't struggle with, hallelujah. You don't need to. Some other statistics, something that just came out. This is really interesting that Todd shared some of these a couple weeks ago. It says that talking about pornography has just become a normal thing, a thing that's not just a bad thing anymore, but something that kids and young adults are just going, oh, yeah, it's part of our culture. It says that when students are talking about pornography with their friends, 90% say they do that in an accepting, encouraging, somewhat neutral way. That means that only 1 in 10 students think that pornography is wrong. And I want to tell you again, guys, God's word explicitly says there should not even be a hint of sexual immorality. Another interesting one is that it says when talking about not recycling and whether that was immoral, that was a bad decision to make, it said that 56% said that not recycling is usually wrong. 32% said that pornography is usually wrong. That's a problem. Because our view of sex and the way that we've bought the lies has brainwashed us to think that I can have what I want, when I want it, whatever it is. And guys, I'm telling you, it is a lie to believe that sex is just limited to going all the way. Lie number two. Sex can serve whatever purpose I choose. What do I mean by that? We, as believers especially, we want to believe what God's word says. We want to believe that what he made was good. But in our justifying of our sin and what we want and of our desire, we take what God designed and we say, well, I believe some of those, but I'm going to practice some of these others. So to remind you what we talked about last week, the purposes that God created sex for, he created sex for marriage. God created sex for a man and a woman. He created sex for intimacy. God created sex for reproduction, and God created sex to teach us about Christ in the church. And guys, a lot of people go, well, I believe it's for a man and a woman, and I believe it's to be intimate, but I could do it before I'm married. And it's not just a reproduction tool. And I mean, shoot, okay, it could be for Jesus in the church, but I want it for me. We take what God intended for our good and his glory, and we try to make it fit us, to make it for our good and our glory, because we just want to pursue us. And so God created and meant sex to be for these things, but the world has come up with their own purposes for sex. Some of them are that sex is meant for just recreation and fun, just for hooking up. I got nothing better to do, or hey, this could be a fun thing. Let's just try that. Sex is meant to be the next step in a relationship. Sex is meant to be this representation of being against authority. This whole sex, drugs, rock and roll. I'm just going to do what I want because they're telling me not to, so check this out. Sex is meant to prove maturity. I'm a man. I'll become a man once that happens. Sex is meant to fulfill instincts. These are desires of mine. I have to. Sex is meant to help a person feel loved. This is what the world says sex is designed to do. But guys, I hope you hear clearly, that is not God's design. And anytime we forsake God's design for our desires, there's a lot of hurt. And there are going to be people who just go, no, it's not hurt. I'm not hurt now. I'm loving it. I'm having a blast. This isn't going to be a bad thing. But if you talk to any adult who is redeemed by Christ and who is allowing Jesus to be the savior of their life, and you ask them if they've ever wrestled with something in the past, they're going to tell you a long story of pain and heartache and brokenness that they've had to have Jesus restore. And I'll tell you right now, he can't. But you don't have to walk down that road. You can trust God's goodness and his faithfulness. Our world has taken what God intended for sex and completely tried to make it to fit what we want. And the lie is that sex can fit whatever purpose I choose. And since we're on this topic, there are two more things that I'm going to address. One that I addressed last week. And because of where our culture is, and because where Romans 1 says our sin leads us to, it leads us into this first one, a thinking that a sinful act is normal. And so I want to touch briefly on the topic of homosexuality. We saw that in Romans 1, verses 26 and 27. And just to see that again, it says that God gave them over to the desire that they have, and they exchanged natural relations between a man and a woman to be for a man and a man and a woman and a woman. And guys, our culture right now celebrates that. Our culture legalizes that. Our country says, yes, that's marriage. And again, guys, I just want to tell you, that is not what God says. That is not what God's word says. Does that mean that if you have that struggle that God does not love you? No. I'm going to say that one more time. Does that mean that if you have desire, wrestle with, pursue sexual desires, that God does not love you? No, it does not mean that. But it is not God's best for you. And what God's word calls sin, our country celebrates. And it's bringing a lot of hurt and heartache. Another one that is also incredibly unfortunate, when people say, I'm going to choose sex to fit whatever I want it to be, when people use sex for their own desire and for their own pleasure and all these things, there is a thing that also creeps in, and it's called sexual abuse. And in a room like this, I know that there might be some people who are victims of sexual abuse. And if you are not, hallelujah. But the statistics say that 1 in 5 women are sexually abused, and 1 in 6 men are sexually abused, and that is only the people that are talking about it. And so I want to clearly say again, if that is you in this room, student or leader, and if that is a part of your story, that does not mean that you are dirty, that does not mean that you are worthless, and that does not mean that God loves you any less. God is crazy about you. And that is a product of sin, but God's grace covers all of that, and you need to know you are loved. And I just want to say right now, if that is you, don't just try to cover it up. Don't believe the lie that maybe someone told you, hey, if you ever tell somebody, you are going to be in huge trouble. I'm going to tell you right now, if that's you, please talk about it. Come find an adult. Come find me or Rebe or Sean or your leader or your parents. Regardless of what you think someone is going to react, please tell them, because we want to walk with you in that. That is not God's best. And we want to make sure that that stops as best as we can. Lie number 2 is that sex can serve whatever purpose I choose. Lie number 3 is it says, man, it's my body. I can just do whatever I want with it. God gave it to me. It's my decision. I'm free. We live in this culture of sexual freedom and expressing that freedom. You can't tell me what to do. No, I can't. But Scripture does say that even though you operate in that body that day as a follower of Jesus that's redeemed because of the cross and resurrection, it's not your body. 1 Corinthians 6:18 through 20, it says this: flee sexual immorality. Run as far from it as you can. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Guys, what God has given us, this is the only body we're going to receive. And it's something that God has given us to honor him in all areas of life, of how we act, of how we share the gospel and how we do these things, but also in how we steward our body and we worship him in our body because God lives in us by his Spirit. That's what it says. We are a temple of the Holy Spirit. It is not your body, and we are to honor him. Another one that is interesting too is just a chapter later in 1 Corinthians 7. It says the wife does not have authority over her own body, but yields it to her husband. In the same way, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but yields to his wife. Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen in this room, if you are not married, which is everybody under the age of 18 here, someday you could be married if God has that for you. That's not true of everybody. And that might be the best that God has for you. But if you are going to be married, that means that someday you will be a wife and someday you will be a husband. Why not honor that commitment you will make now? Because someday, as some of the leaders have experienced, you will have to sit with your future bride or future husband and say, hey, I need to confess some of the things that I did not honor God and I did not honor you. And again, it leads to a lot of pain and heartache. The lie is that it's my body, I can do what I want, and it is a lie. Number four, sex leads to love. Sex is the way of showing love. Sex is the next step in the relationship. I want to see if I love that person, so I'm going to try and have sex. Or a guy maybe says, hey, if you really loved me, then you would do this with me. What's the deal? Well, I think he likes me. I might lose him. So maybe a girl says, if I would have sex with him or if I would do these sexual things with him, then maybe he would love me. Guys, it's a lie to think that sex is going to ultimately fulfill and please us and satisfy us, and to think that sex is a mark of love. It is not. Here's what the scripture says love is. 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. That's the love that God has for us. That's the love that he expressed through his son, Jesus, on the cross. Our expression of love through sex that the culture tells us and we buy into, that is not showing that kind of love. That love is intended in all of the ways that God created sex to be. Again, sex is not the problem, but when we use it as something to try and think that we're expressing love, it leads to a lot of hurt. Guys, this verse, this is the verse that I have inscribed in my wife's wedding band. I have that passage carved into her ring because I know that that is the way that I can express love to her in the same way that God expressed his love to me. And guys, I want to call you gentlemen. That is how you are supposed to treat a woman. That is how you should pray for your wife. Ladies, that's what you should expect in a man. That is how you should give of yourself, not in these sexual relationships right now, but in trusting God's goodness and his plan for your life. The lie is that sex leads to love, that we can manufacture love, that it's our choice, that it's just an action. Guys, love is sacrifice. Again, in what Jesus modeled on the cross. And then last one, number five, is that love, that sex can be safe. Some of you guys are right now taking a sex ed or something in biology where you're learning about the physics and biology of sex. Some of you in this room have already taken that. And some schools, especially public schools, they talk about safe sex. They talk about using caution and using protection. And as long as you're doing that, it's okay and it's safe. And I'm telling you right now, guys, it's not. Because sex is not just an action. It is physical. It is emotional. And I would say the scripture says it's also spiritual. And when we come together in that kind of unity that we looked at last week, and we then try and rip that apart, if that relationship ends, it leads to a lot of hurt. The only way that sex is safe is when we follow God's design and God's plan and the way he intended it in marriage between a man and a woman. And we trust him and we trust his goodness and we follow his way. And then sex is the greatest thing he ever created. Guys, in all of this, this is not a message of just, hey, because we're here and it's the church, you should just not have sex. The greatest reason to not have sex is because I'm telling you all these things or because you feel guilty about it. The greatest reason to not have sex is so that you can be intimate with the Creator God, that you can have relationship with him. And I'm telling you right now, guys, if you engage in sexual immorality, you are not growing closer to God. That doesn't mean that you can't grow close to him. That doesn't mean that you are never going to have a relationship with him. Grace abounds. But as long as you are pursuing your desire through sex or through any kind of sin, you are not growing closer to the Lord. And guys, that is what you have access to. And I want to call you to it. Our culture is sending us all kinds of lies, and these are not the only ones. And this week, you're going to have an opportunity to talk through maybe even what are some of the other lies that you believe. And guys, if there is something that we talked about today that hit you, that you just go, man, that's me, come talk to us. You are not alone in that. God's grace is amazing. God's forgiveness is unbelievable. All you have to do is just come to him, and we want to help you. Don't sit there thinking, I can't tell anybody. I have so much shame. If anybody knew... That's a lie too. Guys, wake. This is not the teenage dream that the culture says that you are going after. The dream is how God created it and intended it and wrote in the scriptures that we can follow. And I pray you will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that it is full of all kinds of truth of who you are and how you love us, of how we can walk in purity. Lord, I thank you that you already see us as the righteousness of God because of what Jesus did on the cross. All we have to do is come to you and surrender. And you wash us clean. And you invite us into relationship with you. But Lord, we are surrounded by all kinds of lies that our culture says that we should run to find life. Will you help us run from those? Will you help us run to you? Will you help us remember that you are good and that you love us? Lord, I pray for the conversations this week. I pray for guys and girls in this room right now who their heart is just beating. I pray you'd give them the courage and the boldness to just come and share something they maybe never have before. And then, Lord, I pray that all of us in this room will leave reminded of who we are in Christ. Our identity is in you, that you love us, that you accept us. And we thank you for what you did on the cross and your resurrection and giving us new life in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, guys, have an awesome day. We will see you next week.